Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Well, good afternoon, folks. Right now, you just got Dave Enright here on member-supported Jazz 90.1 on your FM dial. And this is the Saturday edition of Soundbites, the 4th of July. I'd like to wish everybody a happy 4th of July. And can't ask for any better weather. I mean, the past few days, we've, you know, literally have had, what, over 6 inches of rain. So it's kind of nice to see, you know, the sun out there shining and everybody hopefully having a safe 4th of July with their loved ones and having a picnic or doing whatever or just kicking back. And hopefully you've got our station on and listening. And we ask you to please call in with your computer questions and see what we can do for you as far as getting answers. Nick Francesco is off busy doing the family thing this week. We finally gave him a weekend off. I mean, I took one weekend a few weeks ago, and now it's his turn, and hopefully Steve Ray is on his way. He's got to come some distance, so hopefully he'll be here and be able to handle any Mac questions. But going to the news. Right now, Microsoft has decided, you know, they love to do their updates. And normally, you're given the option on the updates is to, whether you want to do them or not. Right now, you know, it's kind of iffy whether you want to do them or not because of some of the stuff going on. And some folks are very cautious because there's been known issues. And so folks like that first, you know, instead of doing them right away, just because Microsoft puts them out there, they're a little more hesitant and they're saying, well, let's wait and see what happens with the rest of the world, which is what I recommend. You know, don't be the first one. So that's why I tell folks automatically turn this off, you know, and you do the discretionary installing of the updates when you want. Because, you know, like anything else, you can always tell the pioneers, they're the ones that have the arrows in their back. And you're going to really get hosed if, you know, you jump right on it sometimes. So I always tell folks, yeah, wait off. Well, Microsoft has decided, okay, we'll circumvent that and we'll just go ahead. And as you're down, shutting down at night, we're just going to go ahead and throw on the updates without you knowing it. Isn't that special? You know, Bill Gates just loves to look out for you folks. I mean, you know, he's got your best interest in mind. You know, he just wants you to just trust him with everything. Not! As you all know, I'm not a very big fan of Vista. I can tell you right now, as far as, you know, the updates and all that for coming out for Vista, what is it, Service Pack 2. Again, I've been telling folks, be a little cautious there because, again, they're not always as great as they could be. They and for what they're doing, they're not actually offering a heck of a lot. There's some minor patches to this and that, but do you really need it? And if Vista is running okay for you, would I roll it out? No. If you want to take a gamble and really do anything, I would suggest looking into maybe going to Windows 7 release candidate. Right now you can get that and put it on your machine. First off, back up your machine. If anything can go wrong, it's just like doing any of these service packs right now. I always tell folks, back up your machine, and Nick is always preaching to folks, do it at least twice. I mean, if anything can go wrong, you know, if your luck is like mine, it's going to happen right off the bat. You know, I start into doing it, and then, bam, something goes sour, and it's like, oh, darn, wish I had backed up. And I get that from quite a few clients. So, you know, don't trust me. You're not alone in that boat. But if you really want to get venturous and, you know, if you're going to try Service Pack 2 for Vista, heck, back up your machine, the documents and settings and all that good stuff, and download currently right now Windows 7 Release Candidate. And I believe that's good for like six or seven months. You can try this out before you have to go to the update. Heck, you're not going to be any worse off. And as I played with it now, we've been playing with it for close to 4 or 5 months, back even with the beta, it's pretty solid. Windows 7, I think, is finally going to be the saving grace for Microsoft because, let's face it, right now, they're hurting. Sales for last year were in the toilet as it was. And, you know, I mean, with the upcoming holiday season, they've got to get something out there that is really going to click for them. Because they were stuck with a boatload of packages that are sitting in a warehouse right now that nobody wants because of all the horror stories that people have been hearing about Vista. Nobody wants it. It's like, forget it. You know, we do this other thing for sound bites. It's called Second Life. And it's a virtual world on the computer. You can go into it and check it out for free. We're there every Friday night. And again, sort of like this show, we do computer questions. We take people's questions all the time. And, folks from there are all over the world. And, you know, they meet Friday nights. We meet at 9 o'clock. That's Eastern Standard Time, so you'd have to figure out what time zone you're in. But, again, you know, you can check it out and come there. I mean, we've got a lot of folks. As a matter of fact, it's another side subject here. One of my dear friends down in South Carolina, Wyoming, I finally got him to get away from McAfee. He wanted to do McAfee so bad, and I said, well, tell you what, try one of the others that we recommend. I mean, it's something, for a while there, we touted both McAfee and Norton. I mean, they were the greatest products, but we've switched just because they've become resource hogs, literally resource hogs. And it'll eat up so much of your resources and slow your machine down like you wouldn't believe. So we've been telling folks, all right, we recommend right now going to AVG or Avast. They're both great products. Malware Bytes and Super Anti-Spyware. You know, if you try those two, I think you're going to like these a lot better. And they're catching a lot more stuff. Because here's the thing, folks. Viruses, yes, they're still out there, and there's still a few, hanging around and that type of stuff. But, you got to protect your machine still. And these three products right now do the better job of it. Like I say, viruses are so-so. But where they're making their money now is on the malware and Trojans. Because, the hackers, they finally smartened up, which I wish they hadn't. You know, they'd sit there and put a virus on your machine. Oh, I brought down 2,000 machines. Oh, big for me. Well, it didn't get them much money. Well, now if they can sit there and trick you into thinking your machine is infected because you've gone to this program or that program, and or answered this email or that email and had you go and fill out information, and now they've got it, they can sell it. They're making money. Because one of the biggest ones out there right now is like the super anti-spyware look-alike. They call it Antivir 2008-2009 or virus Antivirus 2008 and 2009. Again, they're both spoof products. They soak you out of your money. And you're still left with an infected machine. And then folks come to me and say, my machine is infected. I got to get this off there. But I paid $29.95. And I've heard some folks as far as $79.95 paid to get it off their machine. They gave all the information. So not only are the host is paying that, they also gave their credit card information and everything else to this bogus company, which turns around and also sells it. So you're not getting zinged once, you're getting zinged twice. And I've heard folks, all of a sudden, they're starting to see these other charges. And it's like, whoa, it is really bizarre. And you got to watch out, folks, because they're out there, and they're trying to get your information all the time. Matter of fact, I just had to dispute one myself. a charge showed up, and my wife goes, what's this? Oh. She goes, well, let's check it out. And sure enough, it was for, $250 of ladies' cosmetic. Now, folks, if you've ever met me in real life, it's scary. You can see what I look like on our webpage if you go to soundbites.org. I'm the one in the middle. I don't use cosmetic materials. Maybe I should. Who knows? You know, I mean, some folks are probably sitting there laughing because they do know me and saying, yeah, you should get the bag. But I don't use ladies' cosmetics. Sorry, never have, never will. And I love my wife, but she can buy her own. Just the way it goes. But, you know, they're getting very creative. And like I say, if they can, they'll sting you. And credit cards now, when you report it, before you used to have to jump through hoops, it seemed, to get them to even think that, you know, well, you sure you didn't order this? It's become so matter of fact, they just sit there, okay, well, all right, we'll call them up and find it, and we'll put a hold on this. They don't even argue with folks anymore. I mean, they've really gotten good on that. So, boy, sort of talk about going off tangent here. It's kind of hard, though. I mean, normally I'm used to, like Nick and Steve always say, you know, I'm usually the one that'll just sit here and plop myself in the chair and answer questions and all that when it comes up my turn. But right today, I'm kind of running the whole boat by myself. So if you folks call, tell you what, I ask for your patience a little bit to, you know, just kind of keep the phone ringing, and when I get a chance, I'll pick it up, transfer you over. So if you don't hear me say anything, don't be alarmed. I will pick up, transfer it over, and you might not hear me say anything that I'm going to transfer you. Please hold on, and I'll put you on. But so kind of work around with that for right now. One other thing with this Microsoft updating, we'd like to know what you think about it. And, of course, if you go to our webpage, soundbites.org, that's soundbites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, and check out the poll. Nick has put up a poll there, and he's wanting to know your opinions on the Microsoft Stealth update. And he's got a few options here. Don't bother me. I just hit OK anyways. Scary enough, that's what a lot of folks do. And please, read them. Concerns me a bit, is annoying. Violates every code of common decency known to man. And, you know, we'd like you to take the time to put in your opinion. You know, vote on this. And then, if you would, go down to the bottom, and there's a link there to Nick's webpage, where you can ask Nick.com and leave an opinion. Because we know just clicking on a button just doesn't always do it for you, folks. Sometimes you've really got to, you know, express yourself. I mean, if you're like me, you know, you get so frustrated sometimes, and it's like, ah, what? Nick gives you the chance to really say what you want, 256 characters. Keep it clean, please. You know, other folks do read it. And, you know, pick up what you want to say, and we will... Well, let's see if this is going to work. And, all right, let's see. Do we have a caller?
I think so.
All right, go ahead.
I have a question concerning fonts in Windows. This is Windows XP I'm running.
Okay.
There is a font known as, where to get to here, MS Sans Serif.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's used in all kinds of dialog boxes. Problem is it's a VGA font. And it looks ugly.
Yeah.
There's a Microsoft Sans Serif that's a true type, but I'm not font savvy enough to be able to kind of make a change and think that it'll be smart. If I remove MS Sans Serif, some dialog boxes in some apps will come up with a font that looks pretty reasonable. It's close and looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
Others will default to a font that looks like about 3 or 4 point sizes bigger, and because the dialog box won't change, now the font gets cut off or spills over in a dialog box. So I'm looking for, is there an MS Sans Serif that's a true type font? I guess would be the ultimate solution.
I believe there is.
Okay.
MS... Gentlemen, Steve just walked in. Traffic's got to be horrendous coming from where you are coming from.
Yeah. Am I on?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, stay out of Fairport. It took me 45 minutes to get through town. I'm only 20 minutes late.
I went down early. Went to the race and then headed back from there.
Microsoft's Sans Serif True Tripe Font. There's one of those.
Not Microsoft. This is called MS Sans Serif. The Microsoft Sans Serif is a true type.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the dial-up, most of this I'm finding in Quicken, and there's a number of other fonts. It seems to be, and I did some internet search, it seems to be the default font for dialog boxes.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Trying to picture the font. That's the whole thing, you know.
Yeah. it's a Helvetica type font. It's a sans serif font, but it's crude. It's a VGA resolution.
Yeah, it looks all jagged and everything
ugly,
else.
Yeah, considering the resolution we've got today on monitors.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing 1024 by 768, and a old-style font looks like, you know, you chiseled it out with stone.
Right. We're going back to stone knives and bear skins here.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas the TrueType fonts, but I would think you would be able to find a TrueType font that would replace that and be able to add it and use it.
Well, that's what I would think, too, but I'm not being real lucky at that. That's why the call.
Okay. Have you tried doing a Google search?
I've done a couple searches, but I haven't.
Like if you do, say, a Google search for Sanser, you know, the particular name, lookalike.
Okay.
Do a lookalike and see if that pops up anything for you.
Okay. You don't know off the top of your head, though, anything that's going to cut it.
10-1, there are literally thousands. I mean, if you want to see a lot of fonts, you should check out Corel. I mean, they got, you know, over a
thousand.
Do you
have to buy these fonts, or can you just download
some of them? You might be able to download.
Okay.
I mean, there's a number of companies, you know, that are putting some samples out there.
Yeah, because Adobe's real nasty about, you know, you got to pay a piper, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what the other guys are like.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it's like any designer, they want money for their designs, but there are some free fonts.
Right. Microsoft doesn't have anything that subs for this now, since the world has gone beyond VGA?
I don't know.
Well, okay. I'm still not getting anything in my headphones, Dave. Types of fonts. There's PostScript fonts where you have a screen version and a printer version.
Yep.
You need to have both sides installed in your computer. And that was one of the benefits of the TrueType font, which ironically Apple invented and Microsoft is licensing. The printer font and the screen font are in the single file, and it renders it as an outline on screen so that you see it at full quality no matter what your screen resolution is, no matter what your printer resolution is.
Yeah, that's what this MS or Microsoft Sans Serif and all the other TrueType fonts under the fonts directory are, except that this MS Sans Serif, which seems to be a throwback from 3.1 days.
Sorry, we got to take a break right now. If you want to hold on, we'll come back to you in a moment. But I think do a Google search and see what you come up with that, and let us know.
Okay? All righty, thank you.
All right. Yep. All right, that means I got to take a break here, folks. We'll be back with you in just a couple of moments. You're listening to member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
When you become a member or renew your membership to Jazz 90.1, you receive your Jazz 90.1 member card, our thanks, and more. Because with your Jazz 90.1 member card, you qualify for discounts at many fine member card businesses, including 45 East Fine Jewelers, Adams Basin Inn, Antonetta's Italian Restaurant, The Bop Shop, Bert Shapiro Photography, Leaf and Bean Coffee Company, Lorraine's Food Factory, Mary Boyce of Mario's Hair Studio, Mind and Body Connection, New Health Cafe, Sound Source, and Tuxedo Corner, Irondequoit and Gates locations, and Small World Bakery. For a complete and up-to-date list of member card businesses, visit our website at www.jazz901.org. To get your member card, call 966-5299 and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 welcomes our newest member card business, Hedonist Artisan Chocolates.
Join us on Sundays 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 for Big Road Blues, an exploration of vintage blues spanning the 1920s through the 1970s. Tune in to Big Road Blues with host Jeff Harris as he digs deep into blues history. spotlighting blues legends and forgotten blues heroes. Along the way, he'll fill you in on the stories and history behind the music. That's Big Road Blues every Sunday, 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 with your host, Jeff Harris. Hi, this is Jeff Harris. Join me every Sunday night from 5 to 7 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Well, welcome back to this edition of Soundbites on the 4th of July. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And welcome back, folks. Like we were talking, as far as that one gentleman, as far as the font.
Yeah, there's two classes of fonts, and Microsoft and Infinite Wisdom have chosen a class as a generic name. There are serif fonts, like Times, that have little tiny hooks on the end of the strokes. Serif fonts are easier to read for body type, for long blocks of type. And then there are sans serif fonts, like Arial and Helvetica, which are better for headlines, and they don't have those little serifs, little strokes at the end of the letters. The Microsoft Sans Serif font and the Serif font is available for download from Microsoft, and I've posted the links. But you're also likely to find free versions of different fonts. It's something that the font people call pirate fonts, in that they don't necessarily have all the ligatures, all the extra characters, the umlauts and the accents and whatnot. They're just basic fonts.
Well, that's the thing, you know, I mean, and there's literally thousands of different iterations and variations of each and every font.
Especially fonts that are common, like Times.
Oh.
You'll have Microsoft Times and Adobe Times and Bitstream Times, and every foundry makes their own version of Times, which then confuses the rest of the industry. And if you create a document with Adobe Times and give it to someone who has Bitstream Times on their computer, it may not look exactly the same because they have a different version of the font you're using. It's a huge problem in the design world, which we deal with a lot on the Macintosh side because of all the creative designers that use Macs. Adobe sort of has their font folio package. For $2,000, you can buy every one of Adobe's fonts. They sell this package of 2,000 fonts. For about $2,000 per computer. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So if you want them all, then you can get them.
Well, Corel's the same way. I mean, if you load all of Corel's fonts now,
yeah,
I think it's over like 1,500 fonts.
That isn't like a 200-page book that comes with CorelDRAW listing the fonts.
It's unbelievable.
And you can buy this Font Explosion and Art Explosion. There's a lot of clip art packages that
Adobe used to put out packages too. You could buy different blocks of fonts.
Yeah, you can buy individual families of fonts, or you can buy different families of fonts. There's the Art Explosion series that contains hundreds of thousands of pieces of clip art and tens of thousands of fonts. And there's usually one or two that are good. But, hey, you know, it's maybe $100 for this package, and you find some things that work. Yeah.
I mean, you know, depending on what you want to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the whole thing.
And it's gotten so interesting because Arial is the standard Microsoft sans serif font. It comes with Windows. It comes with Microsoft Office, so a lot of Mac users end up with it, too. Comes with the Mac OS, so Arial is sort of becoming the common font. You can see it everywhere. You can notice Arial. Times New Roman is the other is the serif font.
See, I'm still like the old it's called Century New School Book.
Yep.
Which
was designed for school books originally.
Or another one was New School Book. You know, again, there's two names, but they were essentially the exact same
slightly
font.
Different fonts. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's crazy.
I'm getting a fast, busy signal. I think we lost our phone call. Push the button. There we are. Now it's gone.
That's weird. That
Rob couldn't come in and run the board today. He's probably on site somewhere.
Well, I told him we could do it. I mean, it's...
And okay, I have to really apologize to you for letting you hang there. I had to get gas this morning, so I stopped in town to get gas.
Oh, no problem. We recover. You know, I mean, it was interesting, but I was able to fumble through the first part there. I was going over the first article story, telling folks if you were listening about the installing. I mean, and there's some other good ones there. If you want to do another news article.
So as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Apple has had their family pack of Mac OS for $199.
Yep.
You get a 5-user license. Well, it looks like Microsoft is going to sell a Windows 7 family pack. They're offering a multi-license family pack, according to a pair of bloggers who cite details in the end-user license agreement that was leaked for Windows 7. The installation rights says that you may install one copy of the software marked as a family pack on three computers in your household. So it looks like Microsoft is doing a three-user license. For Vista, they sold a two-user license for $159 for a few months. So there's no official pricing on what this family pack is going to cost, but apparently from the license that got leaked out.
As much as they can get.
As much as they can get out, yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that last night. The home premium upgrade from XP or Vista is currently $49 if you pre-order it now, and that offer ends next week on July 11th. And then the price goes up to $129 when it's released in $119 when it's released in October.
I wonder if they'll extend that too. I mean, given, you know, I mean, to sit there and give folks such short notice.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a small, because what? That's only been out.
It was a 2-week window, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of short for folks, you know, one, to find out about it, and given the economic times right now. That's what I keep falling back on. I mean, a lot of these companies just think folks are going to jump right on it. But let's face it, you know, if it's going to buy a piece of software or pay in your electric bill.
And something like this, you're pre-ordering. So you're going to give Microsoft your $50 now, and in 6 months, you'll get what you paid for.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. Well, who knows if they're going to slip the release date anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they best not. Like I was talking about it before. It's going to be make or break. I truly feel, as far as the PC side, it's got to be make or break for them to get it out by October. Right now, the release code looks good. Hopefully, they don't muck it up too much.
Yep.
That it's going to really get it bad.
But that's really almost too late for the Christmas shopping season. You know, if it's released in October, and they're saying October 22nd, so the end of October is the issue. That doesn't give manufacturers very much time to start pre-installing it with their new computers. It'll be available on store shelves to buy, theoretically. But then the other thing Microsoft has said is that if you buy a new machine with Vista now, you can upgrade to Windows 7. But they haven't said how much yet.
Right. Yeah. All right, we got a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is John from Ontario.
Hello,
John. And I have just got my daughter a new MacBook for her to take away to school, and I'm trying to hook her up into my wireless network at home. And when it finds a network, it says, you know, requires a password, and I type in a password, and it tells me that it's an invalid password. And it's not an invalid password, because I've got two other laptops that are on the system, and I know what the password is. And I plugged this into the, and hardwired into the network, and then called up the router's website. And of course it needed a name and a password, and I entered that, and it let me in. So I know the password I'm using is right, and I just can't figure out how to get this Mac on.
Are you sure you're typing the password with the correct case, uppercase and lowercase, letters
and
numbers?
Yep. No, that's not an issue.
What kind of password is it?
It's a very simple 4-digit password.
Difficult one that he can't get into the system.
That could be part of your problem. What kind of password? Is it WPA, WEP?
WEP.
Okay, there's a problem. WEP can be broken by a pocket watch in 5 seconds.
Okay.
So there is no security involved in WEP. And that's probably the problem. The Macintosh wants to use WPA, which is a more secure network.
If I go into the router's website and select the WPA, do I need to do anything else or just select that?
You'll need to have a longer, more secure password. I think WPA requires 13 characters, is it?
Yeah, no. eight
characters. Eight for WPA, 13 for WPA2.
Okay.
But try, as a test, try it with no password. Turn your security off and try connecting.
I did that. And then that lets the Mac on. But then it kicks my daughter's Vista machine off.
Because you have to change the password on those computers.
Yeah, that's set up with the password also.
Right, so that Vista computer is remembering the old password, which is now wrong, so it can't get on. So
once I got the, because I turned off, you know, I had no security, the Mac got on, the Vista computer wouldn't get on.
Right.
But then when I turn security back on, now the Mac can't get on, but the Vista can't.
Because Vista's remembering the old password.
Right.
When you turn security off, the Vista tries to log in and is sending a password.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And that password is not wrong.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah. Right, now, I have a question about the other WPA.
Thing,
it gives me a number of choices, radii or whatever it's called. Actually, I can fired up.
Yeah, there's WPA is a protocol that can either use the TKIP encryption or the AES encryption. TKIP has also been broken, so your best bet is to use the AES encryption. But you almost have to deal with the lowest common denominator. What your router is capable of, and what each of your machines is capable of as well. My son has a Nintendo DS. Mm-hmm. It only does WEP.
Yeah.
So we have to use WEP on our network, even though it's insecure.
Same with my grandson.
Yeah. The other thing you might try is in your router setup, it will give you a hexadecimal equivalent for your English letter password.
Yeah.
It will show you the 40-bit or 128-bit hexadecimal number. You may need to type that into the Mac instead of the English passphrase. You may need the hexadecimal number. And sometimes that happens vice versa, too. If you're using an Apple router trying to connect a PC to it, you sometimes have to use the hexadecimal version instead of the ASCII version.
Interesting.
It's well worth the effort, though. You know, I mean, it doesn't take folks much to go, you know, riding around and sniffing out networks that are literally wide open.
Yep.
It would scare you if you took a ride around and mm-hmm. saw the number of folks that I could sit there in, you know, even a couple houses away,
yep.
tap into their network, download whatever I want, and they're going to get blamed for it.
Because nobody has any passwords on their computers usually mm-hmm. either. So, you know, the username is owner and there's no password, yeah.
when I get here for the WPA, I have a choice of personal, enterprise, WPA2 personal, WPA2 enterprise.
Yeah, each one is a higher level of encryption and security than the previous. So you have to find the lowest common denominator between all of your computers. A current Mac will be able to do WPA2 Enterprise,
mm-hmm.
and your router must be fairly recent because it supports the WPA2 Enterprise as well.
It's about 3 years old, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I've run into the same on the PC side.
Yep.
I mean, you get some of these folks, you know, like you say, they got our newer machines in the house, and we're setting them up all for the higher-end encryption, and then they've got this old Dell notebook that they put a wireless card in it.
Yeah.
And it's an old wireless
card.
And it
only does 40-bit WPA, which is only WEP.
And it's like, you know, like you say, that and a paperclip, and I could crack that in 2 seconds. But because of that one, now they want to lower it. Yeah, I got to lower it. Uh-huh. And they go, but I don't want
it. You suggest I should go AES versus TKIP.
Right. AES is still secure. The TKIP has been not really compromised, but they've been able to figure out how to generate the same, there was a Security Now episode about it, where they're able to put in a known input and get a known output.
Yep.
So it's not really that they've broken TKIP, it's just the security has been compromised, so it's better now to use the AES encryption. But again, your computers have to also support that as well.
All right. And it's not asking me to create a password here, but...
Yeah, you have to type enough characters until the OK or Apply button lights up. I think
the only thing I'm seeing here is save settings or cancel changes. Because I picked WPA Enterprise AES. There's zeros for radius server address, 1812 radius port, shared key, which is blank.
Yeah, your share key is basically with the password you're putting onto it.
Okay, so I just got to make that up and insert it.
Right.
All right, I'll give it a whirl.
All right, well, thank you very much for calling, and I hope you enjoy your 4th of July, and thank you for listening to Jazz
90.1.
Yep.
Bye.
Yeah, the radius encryption is done with a radius server at the other end, so that's more for enterprise companies that have
right.
big encryption servers.
Well, and this is the thing, you know, I mean, we can't harp on it enough. I know you do, probably at your shop, and same with us in our shop and a number of shops all over the place. You know, folks, you know, they get this these hubs because nowadays the hubs are so cheap.
Yeah, you have to be really careful. The $30 hub probably only supports WEP. You have to get maybe the $50, $60 wireless access point to support the WPA.
But even taking the time to, you know, set it up and, you know, just do it. I mean, that's where a lot of folks aren't taking the time to do the mm-hmm. security.
Yeah, put a password on your computer's admin account. Put a password on your Wi-Fi router. You can go to apartment complexes and townhouses and just see, you know, dozens of Wi-Fi networks available, open networks.
Mm-hmm.
So bad guys can log into their network, do bad things, and when the police trace it, it ends up at the house.
Yeah.
And there have been known cases where homeowners have been arrested and confiscated.
Like I say, it would scare people. If they took the time to go around with their laptop and just see throughout a neighborhood, you go up and down the streets to see how many opened. And I mean, even some of them that are supposed to be secure.
Yeah, the passwords.
They leave the default passwords.
Default passwords
because they don't, they don't take the time to read the manual and find out. Oh, I can change this, and make it a little more secure. Want to take the time to read that manual.
I know of a guy that has a little file on his computer. And when he finds something like that, he puts the file on their desktop. So he gets into an open router, gets into an open computer.
Really?
And the file says, "Hi, you've left your computer wide open. You have no passwords. If I were a bad guy, I could have stolen all your information. I'm not a bad guy. I'm just warning you that you're doing
it." Sweet.
Yeah.
No, yep. That guy should be...
Although, that's illegal, because you're accessing someone's network without permission.
Yeah,
the BBC got into trouble a few months ago about that.
Mm-hmm. They, really?
They bought a botnet on eBay. Only 20,000 computers in the botnet, and it only cost them a couple hundred dollars. They said it was surprisingly cheap.
Chump change.
And they were doing a documentary on how botnets work, and so with the cooperation of an ISP, they set up a spamming botnet and spammed themselves to see how it would work. And then when they finished their research, they told the botnet to shut down. And before they told it to shut down, they changed the screensaver to say, "Your computer's infected by a botnet. You should take it in for service." Well, people got mad that their screens were changed and sued the BBC, and now the BBC's in trouble, and they're running into issues. They're trying to be nice, but it's illegal
and
to use someone's computer.
Yeah. Getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let Tones right now tell me we got to take a short break. We've got a caller on the line. Please hold on. We'll be out of this break in just a few short minutes. And I'd like to remind you folks, you're listening to member-supported Jazz 90.1. It's Saturday. You're listening to Soundbites on this edition of the 4th of July. And hope you're enjoying your day. And we'll be right back, folks.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Join us on Sundays, 5 to 7, on Jazz 90.1 for Big Road Blues, an exploration of vintage blues spanning the 1920s through the 1970s. Tune in to Big Road Blues with host Jeff Harris as he digs deep into blues history, spotlighting blues legends and forgotten blues heroes. Along the way, he'll fill you in on the stories and history behind the music. That's Big Road Blues every Sunday, 5 to 7, on Jazz 90.1 with your host, Jeff Harris.
You feel like some live jazz tonight? Then listen for the Club Calendar Highlights with Joel Van Buren every day at 9:40 a.m., 2:40, 5:40, and 7:40 p.m. Joel gives you a sample of who's playing jazz and blues that night and where. For a more complete listing of jazz playing in our area, check out the Club Calendar online at jazz901.org. You'll always know where the jazz is with Jazz 90.1.
This is Rob Linton. Join me every midday from 10 a.m. till noon right here on Jazz 90.1.
Our famous leader, Rob Linton. Welcome back, folks. This is the Saturday edition of Soundbites on the 4th of July. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And let's tell you what. I got a caller on the line. Let's see if he's still there. Caller, you still there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, sir. Hope you're enjoying your 4th of July. How can we help you today?
I've got a question, and it actually involves your websites. And I thought maybe I was having a computer problem, but when I went to work and I used two of my employer's computers, I've got the same problem. SecurityTango.com. Currently, I have it up on my screen. And for some reason, you got a little, what I would call an error. I see a part of an eye below in the lower right-hand corner below some of your ads. And I thought at first maybe my computer wasn't accepting a cookie from an ad or something, but three computers do. I don't know if you're aware of something here, or maybe there is an issue with accepting a cookie for that ad.
What browser are you using?
Windows Internet Explorer.
try a different browser, because on Safari there's nothing there, and Firefox there's nothing there.
Okay. And the other issue that I had was, in the last 2 weeks, I did click on your tab to download the Malware Bytes program. And it took me to a mirror site, CNET, and when I originally downloaded it, I got a weird attachment, and I could not open it. And in fact, I still have it saved, and it says type a file in EFW file, and it wants to open with a HIPS attachment, email attachment. I couldn't open this. So, and again, I was using your website to get to the CNET website to download the Malware's program. Mm-hmm. Well, finally, I just, you know, went to the homepage of Malware's and went to the download button, clicked on it. It took me to a different site. I think it was Geek something, and I downloaded it from there, and I ran it.
Yeah, that's a safe one, too. We'll have to mention something to Nick and have it checked out. We are in the midst of, just so everybody, along with you and everybody else knows, we are in the midst of revamping the security tango.
Do you use CA Computer Associates antivirus?
Yes, I do.
That's where the EFW came from. It has nothing to do with us.
It has nothing to... Okay.
Yeah, the EFW is a compressed file created by CA Security Center to scan email attachments.
And I couldn't open it for some reason, you know, and I...
Well, you have to open it with an unzipper. It's a compressed zip file.
Okay, I was not aware of that. So that's why I had issues opening it up. So at first I thought maybe I got I was redirected to some a bad site, and then
I'd rather hear you that you're a little more cautious. That means that we're getting through to you.
Yes, you are. You have infiltrated or definitely influenced my computer.
Through the airways, we're slowly penetrating and taking over minds.
Yeah, well, the link on hopefully you won't do that, but whatever. Now, listen, because this is July the 4th, and the fact that Nick is not in the studio, can you guys confirm or deny that there are rumors that actually Nick is dressed up in a George Washington outfit, standing on the west bank of the Genesee River, looking to have somebody take him over to the east side on a boat so he can conquer Irondequoit?
We can neither confirm or deny.
So no comment.
Correct.
You gentlemen should run for political office.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and I checked on the Security Tango site. The links for Malware Bytes and Super Anti-Spyware go directly to the publishers. They don't go to a mirror site. So that's interesting, too. From the publisher, it might have gone to a mirror site. Yeah, when you go to Malware Bytes' own website at malwarebytes.org and click on the download free version, it sends you to cnetdownload.com to download it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as it's a legit site. What
probably happened is his antivirus software intercepted that and changed the compressed file.
Well, that's like I was saying before, my friend Wyoon down in South Carolina there, I finally got him off of McAfee because, you know, I've been touting, you know, folks, you know, and we've been saying this for quite a while. Both McAfee and Symantecs have become memory hogs.
And they're now the known quantity. When someone writes a virus, they don't release it until it can get past McAfee and Norton.
Oh, big time.
Yep.
And, you know, and I'm sure you see it, too, in your shop. I mean, folks are coming in and saying, but I got this on there, and darn it, I was just in a little while ago. How come my machine's reinfected?
Yeah, you went back to some bad site.
Accidentally. And took it off, you know. Or, again, you put the other tool. Here's the other thing. I don't know if you run into this. You know, and I bat my head. You give them the tools, and then they don't take the time to use them.
Yep, you have to run the tango.
We even give them a sheet of paper telling them how to do it.
Once a month at minimum, once a week isn't too much.
Yeah, exactly. All right, tell you what. We got another caller. Let's go to our next caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Stopped by your house and watched Lori work in the garden for a while, then she said to call you.
Okay. Thank you, dear.
I didn't know whether you were that you were working on Saturdays now. Say, I got rid of Norton antivirus on the machine and tried to load AVG. It gets to the very end, and there's an error and a couple warnings, and the error is failed for file starting service, and then there's a couple of warning actions. Tried this a couple of times, and I can't get through to the very end to start this.
I've been getting that a lot lately, too. I have to run Malware Bytes and Super Anti-Spyware first to remove the spyware that's preventing the antivirus from getting in.
Yep.
I'm working on a computer now that's got a rootkit and viruses on it.
Yep.
Okay,
it's got
so try the Super Anti-Spyware and the other one, and try this again.
Yes, yep. Especially malware bytes. Now, here's the key. Don't tell anybody else. It's just between you and I. Okay. It's a trade secret. And 20,000 watts of power going out. All right, if you folks will take the time to put Malwarebytes on and run it once, if it doesn't allow you to update, that's okay. Don't worry. It will go out with the payload that it's got on it at first. It'll go out and check and get rid of most of the stuff that's stopping it. You then reboot the machine, run Malwarebytes again, but try to update it. It should allow it to update it. And then run the Super Anti-Spyware.
Yep.
Super Anti-Spyware has been on the machine for a while. The other one, I just reloaded this morning, downloaded this morning. I haven't run it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, would I have to run it the second time to get it clean?
You basically keep running it until it says it's clean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll try the AVG again.
And keep trying to update until it says there's no updates available.
Thank you very much.
One computer I'm working on in the shop now, they... it's got a rootkit on it. It's got viruses on it. It's preventing it from getting to the internet, so I couldn't download the anti stuff. So I downloaded it on my Mac, put it on a flash drive, stick it in the PC, which then infects the flash drive. So when I put it back in, because I don't, your flash drives that don't have any lock tabs
there's
on them anymore.
Matter of fact, there's a news article. If you want to go, there's one there. Read about it. About a new virus out. Nick printed off for us.
Page. Yeah. So it was weird. I put the flash drive back in my Mac, and I can see the infections on
the flash drive.
On the flash drive, yeah. What's the Michael Jackson malware ring?
Yeah. I think that's the one.
Yeah, the bad guys are taking off on Michael Jackson's death. Security researchers at Symantec and Sophos are reporting the prevalence of spam related to Michael Jackson's death. And rather than relying on normal Independence Day-related emails, you know, happy 4th of July and there's a virus attached, spammers have launched a campaign to infect users with malware using news about the singer as a lure. So July 4th weekend is usually a time for barbecue, beach parties, and Independence Day spam. But Michael Jackson's death has changed that. So you're getting subject lines like remembering Michael Jackson, email coming from michaeljackson.com, supposedly secret songs and secret photos of Michael Jackson, and it's a new malware they're calling Zipmail B.
Especially if folks are getting this from folks they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what amazes me. Folks will click on stuff; they don't even have a clue who it's from.
Yeah. Oh, I got mail. Let me read it. Yeah. Have to be careful. And even if even mail from people you do know can be infected, so that's.
How many times
you don't have much hope. Yeah.
I only open mail from people, stuff from people I know.
Yeah. Or if you have your preview window open. Mm-hmm. So when I'm deleting junk mail, when you have your preview window open, you're opening the junk mail, telling the other end that you opened the junk mail. Turn your preview window off to delete your junk mail.
Yep. And if you're using Thunderbird, which we recommend highly, it has a built-in feature where once you set it up, you can mark something as junk. But going back to the USB drives on there, they're saying how this now, the spammers are getting very clever, folks. And what they're doing is not only putting it on your PC, but if you put in a flash drive.
Yep. That's because the email providers, internet service providers and email providers are scanning for viruses and spam before they pass the mail along. So it's getting less and less likely to receive a virus through email. So now you're getting it on Facebook, on MySpace, on popular websites. You're getting it on flash drives. You're getting it other ways than through email.
And, you know, that's one thing, you know, I did a talk about a month or so ago, I think it was to the Yacht Club, and talking about security and even the PC Cube group about security. And that is one thing that has gone by the wayside. I mean, we used to be very paranoid back in the day with the 3.5-inch floppies. It has that little notch
for the locking tab. Yeah.
For the locking tab. And folks would always put a lock on it so nothing could get to it. I carry around a flash drive. But the difference with my flash drive is it has a smart card in it. The smart card has a locking device.
Yep.
This way I know when I go to a client, I can comfortably say, I'm not going to get any viruses and you're not going to give me any back.
Yep.
But the average flash drives don't have it on it.
Yeah, you have to look for a special drive that has the locking switch on it.
Right now, the smart card one is the only one that I know of. And, you know, all the rest are just simple. Oh, plug them in. And that's scary, too, because you can have 8 gig on some of the average flash drives out there right now. I mean, I've got one, you know, 8 gig. And all that information could be infected. And then when you put it in from one computer to the other, you're going to infect those other computers.
Yep.
It's scary.
I heard about classrooms where the professor hands out assignments on a flash drive. Well, if one computer in that class is infected, it infects the flash drive, and then you pass it around the rest of the computers, they all get infected too.
Yeah, I mean, and this, you know, not only PC, Mac, all of them, you know, they can easily pass it on now to these other devices that, yeah, maybe the machine won't get infected, you know, like on a Mac or, say, even a Ubuntu machine. But if it's sitting there and can't execute its payload because it is a Mac or Ubuntu, it still could get passed on to a flash drive. And then that flash drive that, if, like you say, is passed on to the others, could easily be infected.
Yeah, so the Mac and Linux can be carriers for Windows viruses. They won't be infected by them. But you can easily pass on, say, a Microsoft Word document that has a virus in it, or you can pass on a flash drive that had a virus on it. So it's being good network citizens, even on Mac and Unix, you should run antivirus programs to make sure you're not passing on bad things to other people.
Okay, well, let's go to another caller. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from?
Rochester.
Okay, name?
Dan.
Okay, Dan. How can we help you today?
Speaking of bad things, I've got a question. I've picked up something that's a little more more than a cookie when I run the programs in the Security Tango. I'm picking up something called Cooly Nudie, and it's a downloader, and it's got a higher level of warning. What is a downloader problem, and is this something in my registry, or is this just a fancier cookie?
It's a malicious piece of code,
and
it is trying to download things into your computer.
Stuff.
Right, download more bad things.
I did seem to eliminate it, but when I did Google it, it says it's probably in my registry, and you have to go into the registry to remove it.
Well, programs like Super Anti-Spyware and Malware Bytes can remove things like that. The danger is you get reinfected by going back to the site that infected you in the first place. So it tends to be tricky for some of those downloader Trojans, because they get downloaded from the internet and infect your machine and download more stuff. A lot of times you even have to run the anti-spyware programs in safe mode, because the spy programs are in memory and they can't be deleted, so you have to do it in safe mode.
Until I see both of those programs, especially Malwarebytes and Super Anti-Spyware, like you said, Steve, coming back at least once, both of them, saying there's nothing on it, do I trust it?
Yep.
So
is there any way to find out which website put this on there?
No.
No. See, that's a whole trouble. Here's what happened, folks. You know, nowadays, you know, we're going to so many different websites. And these websites, to help subsidize them, you know, they're putting the little ads down along the bottom or along the side and all that. It's those ads that are getting hacked. Those other websites, you know, because you got a legitimate website.
Yeah, there were stories about Facebook and MySpace both becoming virus infections because of an ad.
Yep.
So we used to say don't go to porn sites, don't go to pirate sites, you know, like don't walk down dark alleys with $20 bills hanging out of your pocket and you won't get mugged. But now, you know, on the legitimate, you know, main streets of the internet, it's easy for the bad guys to sneak in and load stuff.
I occasionally get my firewall warnings saying that, you know, this cookie or this wants to access my internet, you know, my computer. Most of the time I deny access to it, but then all of a sudden the web page doesn't load properly and I'm missing a graphic or I'm missing an animation.
Right.
And when I go back to it, if I refresh the page and the warning comes up again from the firewall, I do say, well, allow it to come in. Occasionally, and especially media websites, television or something to that effect, when you want to look at a video clip, all of a sudden doesn't play, the firewall warning comes up, and you have to allow this thing to into your computer.
Yeah, it's very hard to know the bad guys from the good guys, and whether you should allow this or not, and how it breaks into your system.
But if you dance the Security Tango, in your opinion, will it permanently remove Cooly Nudie?
Until you get reinfected again.
Yeah. This is something, though, once you do the Security Tango and you put those programs on there, depending on your web use, periodically you got to keep running at least the Super Anti-Spyware and Malware Bytes.
I usually run the Tango once a week in safe mode.
There you go. That you are a convert.
Yeah, that should. And then what web browser do you use?
Internet Explorer.
Stop using that.
Yeah.
That's a big vector for malicious software.
Okay. I occasionally, only because I still have it on my computer, I occasionally use the AOL browser, even though I don't pay for the AOL.
That's
service.
Based on Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
That's even
Try using Firefox.
Firefox is much safer. There are some websites that you have to use Internet Explorer on, like the Microsoft download software update site. But for most sites, you can use Firefox. In fact, their new 3.5 came out this week, which
and
is
there's already
really, really
fast. They got to do a patch for it.
Patch for it already. And there's a couple of really cool extensions for Firefox. One of the neat things Firefox lets you do is programmers can add things to it. There's one called NoScript and there's one called NoAd. And it will block scripts from trying to run on websites that can infect you, and it will block ads from websites, which is kind of a catch-22, because if it weren't for the ads, you'd be paying to see that website. Mm-hmm. So the ads are sort of there to help pay for things.
Yeah. Earlier in the show, when you first started it, right off the top of the hour, you were talking about Microsoft downloading updates automatically and putting it on your computer, even though you may not want it, especially this new beta version of Internet Explorer. I currently have my settings set at Notify Me when upgrades are available, and so I don't automatically have it put into my computer system. Well, they will notify me. I'll get a little flag on the task bar or the toolbar, and then I decide if I want to download it. And what I've heard from a couple of my coworkers, they say do not download the latest version of Internet Explorer. It's a beta version.
Yeah.
IE8 has been released, but the concern is that they're sneaking updates in without telling you.
Yeah.
So it's the updates they tell you about are probably okay.
It's just the other stuff. Again, like I was saying before, you know, you got to be leery about doing it. You take control. Don't let them do it because, you know, they're not always looking out for your best interest. Thank you for calling. All right. That means we got to take another break here. It's top of the hour. So we thank you folks for listening today, the 4th of July to Soundbites. We're going to take a short break, and we should be back very shortly with other great questions and information. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
He's been playing piano in the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra. He's one-third of the Jeff Hamilton Trio. Israeli-born Tamir Hendelman first saw a keyboard, a Hammond organ, when he was six and begged his mother for one. Though she thought it a phase, she encouraged young Tamir's studies. He was 11 when his family had moved to Los Angeles, and by then the bug had really bit.
Well, what happened was we connected with a teacher who was very cool and very open. You know, we would be, you know, trading fours, and I'd be transcribing and improvising, and it was anything from Ray Charles to Mozart to, you know. And we did a competition where I wrote a piece and played it for Yamaha, you know, and later we got to go to Japan. And right around then I was about 15, and I said, wait a minute, I'm ready to, like, check out the piano. Because, see, when I was about six and I heard the piano, it was a really bad spinet, and the teacher was teaching us recorders, and it was really boring. But as I was, you know, getting into this whole orchestrating and this, it's like, wow, the piano is a really deep instrument. You know, the touch, the different levels, the harmonies and everything. And that's when I really fell in love with the piano.
That's a great story because that tells you a teacher makes such a difference. Mm. A teacher can either turn you on or turn you off.
It's true.
Huh? Do you teach much?
Yeah, I love to teach.
Are you teaching privately or
Yeah, privately, and you know, like whether it's composition or arranging or piano. And then UCLA, a couple years ago, I started to teach there.
Are you still on faculty there?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Add professor to the many musical hats Tamir Hendelman wears, as well as pianist for the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra. This week, he's paired in our studio with Gerald Clayton for a terrific interview.
Sitting in. Hosted by Helen Borgers.
Brought to you by the 2009 Playboy Jazz Festival at the world-famous Hollywood Bowl. For more information, visit playboyjazzfestival.com. jazzmusic.com.
I'm Jennifer Lopez, and here's a sound no mother wants to hear. It's pertussis, whooping cough. And if you think it's hard to listen to for 30 seconds, imagine hearing it for weeks, even months. Imagine it coming from your baby. Pertussis is most often spread by parents, and it's potentially fatal to infants. Visit soundsofpertussis.com and ask about the adult pertussis vaccine. Because what would you do if your baby caught this from you?
Every day we make sure we get things done to keep ourselves on track, to live the way we want to live. And every day we make choices, large and small, that reflect who we are, from the clothes we buy to the car we drive to where we choose to live. If you enjoy Jazz 90.1, make the choice to become a member. And once a year, renew that membership. See how it feels. It just might be one more small but important choice you make to live the way you want to with Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon on this Saturday, the 4th of July. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And you're listening to Soundbites. And again, two things I actually want to mention here. We just had a sponsor talking about, you know, support. And I just had a caller a few minutes ago, didn't want to go on the air, but, you know, I want to publicly thank him here on the radio. That the reason he listens to Soundbite is because of the great information that we give him, you know, year after year, and we're coming up on 20 years. But because we moved to Jazz 90.1, he now became a member.
Yep.
And, you know, we really thank you. I mean, you know, it means a lot to us that, you know, you folks enjoy our show so much, and you're throwing your support behind us by becoming members, being part of the member-supported Jazz 90.1 family, that we can't thank you enough. And, you know, please, you know, if you're not a member, please take the time, pick up the phone, and call up and sign up. You know, it's a dynamite program that they're allowing us to do now, close to over 2 hours, well, up to just about 2 hours of programming. There's very few underwriters right now, or, you know, time that's taken out of it. Well, I think, what are we uploading? About an hour and...
Hour 52, 53 minutes, yep.
That is a phenomenal show, folks, you know, that you can sit there and get on the web, whether it's podcasts or through our archives. I mean, we've got all our old shows there. So, you know, if you have become a member, please, just as a shameless plug, pick up the phone sometime and just give them a call and say, you know, I want to become a member and support Soundbites. Because a lot of folks don't know that we've switched over here, and we're loving it. I mean,
we're loving that they don't know.
No,
we're loving that we switched.
Yes, we're loving it that we switched. I mean,
so
well,
tell all your friends. Yep.
Yes, I mean, between you, I, and Steve, you know, other than Nick, rather, forget him when he's not here. I wonder if those sirens going by were looking for him.
Maybe
one step ahead of the law. But anyway,
I've heard there's a little time travel involved.
Could be. You know, that gentleman might not be too far off.
No, in fact, I was listening to a time travel story on the way in, All You Zombies by Robert A. Heinlein.
But, you know, I mean, it's things like that. The three of us, you know, I mean, right now doing this show, there's not a heck of a lot of time in between breaks. I mean, before, we could sit there, you know, get a donut, get a cup of coffee, wander off, do that. No, I don't have time to do that. Matter of fact, I wound up going to get an extension cord for my headset so I could go out in the hallway to reach my cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough room, you know, time to go too far. As far as the bathroom, not in a two-hour time frame, so I make sure I take care of it before then.
Well, we got that 4 minutes at noon, so there...
You have the 4 minutes. I got to watch the board. All right, tell you what. Let's try another news article.
There are reports that Apple may be bailing out on NVIDIA. A former Inquirer writer, so I don't know how legitimate that might be, is reporting that Apple may be stopped using NVIDIA graphics chips in upcoming Macs. He reports for a website called SemiAccurate, a name that really inspires confidence, that the Apple-NVIDIA negotiations for the upcoming motherboard chips have come to a bitter halt. NVIDIA and Apple have gone through some pretty rocky times. The 8600 MGT graphics chip failures mm-hmm. that hit the whole industry, including Apple.
Yeah.
In fact, the early stories from NVIDIA were that, the Apples aren't affected. Those chips were okay. And then a few weeks later, it came out that, yeah, they were, and you had to replace your motherboard. It's interesting that Apple goes back and forth between NVIDIA and ATI. Because as the two big graphic chip companies, they leapfrog each other. So this year, NVIDIA's are big. In 6 months, the ATI new cards will come out, and then
There'll be a big boy on the block. Yep.
The interesting thing in the industry is that ATI is owned by AMD, which is Intel's big rival. So all the companies using Intel motherboards and Intel processors, there might be clauses in contracts that say you can't use ATI video cards because they're the competition.
Ooh.
Although that's probably restraint of trade in the
It opens some doors.
So you never know, yeah. So the story with Apple's latest NVIDIA chips is that NVIDIA came to Apple and wanted to make a high-end workstation graphics card for their Mac Pros, the real high-end, mm-hmm. and Apple said, no, let's do a laptop graphics card, because laptops typically have very low-powered graphics cards, and which make them not very good gaming machines.
Mm-hmm.
So now these new NVIDIA chips in the MacBooks and the low-end MacBook Pros are really, really fast and are pretty good for gaming.
See, I use an NVIDIA myself.
Yep.
I've sort of crept away from ATI. I mean, they're still good, both of them. You know, it's depending on what you're going to use and what you're going to do. There's solutions for both sides of the fence here.
I get a kick out of the $2,000 NVIDIA card. The Quattro 5400? It's got a gig and a half, a GDDR3 on it. But its big thing is it's got a stereo output, so you can plug a stereo monitor into it.
It takes up literally two slots. It
takes up two slots, yeah. And most of the new graphics cards take up two slots because of the fans you got to put on
it. Yeah, and they're recommending you go up to at least a 500-watt power supply because along with it taking up those two slots are the power adapters that have to hook up to each one of those cards.
Yep. Well, I get a kick out of the Mac Pro, which is Apple's high-end workstation, has a 1,000-watt power supply in it. A kilowatt power supply. Well, because you can put four hard drives in it, and you've got six slots to fill, so it can do all this stuff.
You know, I know a lot of our listeners here might not remember, but back in the day, I can remember I used to say, you know, it won't be too long before we're going to need, you're going to have a receptacle outside, and that's for your liquid nitrogen.
Yep.
Because you're going to have it filled up, and it's going to come in through a cooling line and actually air condition and cool off the inside of your computer because of the heat.
Yeah.
During the winter, it might be able to generate enough heat to heat a house.
We go to a lot of companies where they keep little space heaters under their desk to keep their feet warm during the winter. Don't need that with late modern computers. You just put the computer under there, and there's so much hot air blowing out.
We just had one, Dan. It was a Blade server.
Yep.
Come in, small box plates are, and it's like, whoa, the heat coming off that beast.
Yeah, Apple's X-Serve, they don't call them fans in it, they're blowers. And they blow really, really loud. You need a second room for your server.
Yeah, and I mean...
You don't want your server to fail, so you need that sort of cooling.
I mean, the huge 6-inch fans both on the front and back, and they're lined up 3 abreast, just to... keep that heat moving. I mean, because, with more power, folks, that's the whole thing. Yep. You know, the faster and more power we're getting into, all these chips, the more heat that it's throwing off.
Yep.
And you got to find a way to circulate, because the days of just, tuck it in the corner.
Yeah.
Or putting it down in a desk.
Yep. Just shoved up against the wall. There's no way for the heat. And the ironic thing is the processors are getting cooler. They're using less power per watt, so that's the big rating now. But they're so much faster and so much more powerful that you have, and now we're running into multi-core, multi-processor machines. So it's not uncommon to have 4 processors or 8 processor cores in your computer.
I got a client just about blew a head gasket. He got this beautiful, I mean, this thing is gorgeous. I'd love it too. Desk. I mean, it's got these.
Yeah, the whole furniture industry was designed around a giant CRT and a giant tower.
I mean, he's got, Steve, you sit it down, all right, and up against the one wall, in this desk, 30-inch screen.
Yeah.
30-inch screen. He's laying back in, I mean, down the corners, this custom little shelves for the speakers, and he's got the subwoofer underneath, you know, so it's literally resonating up by his feet, and, you know, you put on a movie, you're going to be blown yep. away, like you see. And then they build this nice little tight, slim compartment.
And cram the computer in there.
Cram the computer in there. And it only lasted, I think it was about a month, and it burned up.
Yep.
Because it literally only had like a, oh, I want to say maybe a 2.5-inch hole.
For all the cables to come out.
For the cables to come through. Yep. No other ventilation. So he had us come over and look at it. And I says, well, here's your problem. You got to move it out. But I don't want this out and then all these cords and all that. I says, well, then your next thing you got to do?
Put a couple of exhaust fans
you
got in the enclosure.
Cut a huge slot in the back there and, you know, install some fans. But this is, I got to then move this whole desk out because he had it up against the wall.
Yeah.
Now it's going to have to come out a few inches.
And you might have to load some ducting to vent the heat away.
And he's got to literally.
Get a dryer vent hose.
Yeah, bend it to the outside.
Yeah, yep.
The only problem is the other side of the wall is his dining room. Oh, don't mind the heat. You know, yep. Heat the dining room.
Well, vent it to the kitchen then so you can cook things.
But yeah, no, they're literally going to have to cut, you know, at least, you know, to fit a few fans in there or some exhausting because it's literally frying,
mm-hmm.
like you say, because it's so hot. And I mean, this was a kick butt system. He had a fire, crossfire, NVIDIA graphics card in it, 4 gig of memory. It was a quad core processor. I mean, this thing was cranking.
One of the nicknames that Apple's Mac Pro workstation has is the cheese grater because it looks like a cheese grater with all these little holes in it.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's so the air can come in the front and go out the back.
Well, see, that's the other thing folks don't realize. Computers are like huge vacuum cleaners, folks.
Yeah.
Seriously, they suck the air in the front, and then it's blown through over the motherboard, out the back.
Over your graphics cards, over your heat sinks, over your chips,
and
everywhere.
And heat is just resonating around there, so that's why you know, it's a good idea. And some of the manufacturers have cut back on costs. I found a number of them right now. I'm installing fans in the front.
Extra fans.
Yeah, because there is none.
Well, because people complain about the noise. They don't like the noise of the fans. Well, the fan is keeping your computer working.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll put the fans in the front because literally that is just drawing the air in the front and blowing out the back.
So every 6 months, maybe a year minimum, your spring cleaning, take your computer and blow the dust out.
Yeah.
In fact, that's one of the recommendations is don't put your computer on the floor because it tends to pick up more dust. It picks up the vacuum cleaner exhaust when you do your vacuuming. And you get really dusty computers. You've got some good pictures.
Oh, yeah. I've got some that, believe it or not, folks, I think it's still up on the. I'll have to dig it out. I know this one isn't. But we had this one computer. Now, imagine this, folks. Everybody knows what a Glad bag, 1 gallon Ziploc bag looks like. Pretty big. I literally, me and my partner, Dan, literally filled, it was bulging, a Ziploc garbage storage bag, 1 gallon, full of dust, hair, and all this. We found a few spiders, dead spiders, of course.
Yeah, dried, used up, spider, they lived there for a while and moved on.
All this cat hair, dog hair, bulging, full. And, you know, handed it to the client, and they go, where'd this come from? Your computer. You go, you're not serious. I go, dead serious. Hello.
And all that dust in there blocks the cooling. It overheats the computer and you know, cuts down the life.
Well, he was wondering why it was shutting down. It was doing a number on his graphics card.
Yep. Yeah, and then there's the new OpenCL graphics language where a lot of programs are now being used to, instead of using the CPU for their processing power, they can also use the GPU, the graphics processing unit. For their processing power, and the computers are getting faster and faster yet.
Yeah, I mean,
And then even more heat being generated.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. And, you know, that's the thing. Like you say, periodically, you know, you got to at least, you know, this is a gray line. I don't know how you feel on it, but, you know, getting some of these folks to take their machines, you know, unhook them.
Well, they're afraid to unhook them because they're afraid
they're not going to hook them back up again. But, you know, if you turn them off, leave them plugged in. That way you're not going to, you know, short anything out.
It stays grounded, yeah. You're protecting it, not you.
Yeah, exactly. So if you touch, you know, you turn it off, you leave it plugged in. The reason for this is you then touch the case. That's metal. You're going to ground yourself. So if you're in there with anything, you know, it's not going to hurt anything. And if you get this canned air, now, one word of caution, and this is words of caution. Listen carefully. If you try using the canned air, please don't put it right on the board, motherboard. Have it a good 6 inches. That nozzle should not even cross into the case area.
And because you're going to get condensation.
Yes.
Boyle's law of expanding gases.
Exactly. And it's very cold, and it could ruin the machine. So if you keep that tip away from entering the inner area of the case, you'll be safe. And blow it out. And get ready, folks. You might want to have a cloth over your face so that, because the dust and all that's going to come blowing out, and you're going to choke.
Depending on how often it's been and how long it's been since the last time you did it.
We take them outside and blow them outside. Yep. The birds go wild. Because it's nesting material for them. Yep. These clumps of fur and dust and everything else, they just go totally bananas. Running around, you see them out there after I've blown the case out, picking up these tufts of fur, you know, lint and dirt and everything else. You see these little sparrows flying off with all this dirt. It's like, thank you! So it's like, oh, okay. Whatever.
Add that to your spring cleaning list.
Yeah, and, you know, if you folks take the time to at least, you know, just clean them out once, at least once a year. I mean, do yourself a favor. The machine will last a lot longer. And, you know, you'll be doing yourself a big favor, too, and maybe even less of a service call. You know, I mean, if you take a little due diligence. All right, tell you what, folks, that music means we got to take another short break and listen to some of the underwriters that support this show. And again, you're listening to Sound Bites on Jazz 90.1. That's member-supported Jazz 90.1 on the 4th of July. I hope you're enjoying the day, and we'll be right back in just a couple of moments.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
If you ever need an organ transplant, you'll probably die before you get one. You can improve your odds by joining LifeSharers or by calling 888-ORGAN-88. LifeSharers puts organ donors first. When you join, you get preferred access to the organs of other members. This could save your life. Join LifeSharers today. Call 888-ORGAN-88 or visit LifeSharers.org.
Refined crowds, posh settings, gourmet food and drink. You can find that anywhere. But when you join the Smart Set, you get to tickle the underbelly of the Rochester swing scene as we broadcast live from the happiest night spots. The Kowtow Room, the Foaming Bulldog, the Jitterbug Coffee Bar, and the Blue Buddha Lounge at the Tiki Village Motor Inn. Experience them all from the safety of your own radio. So join me, Charles Benoit, every Saturday night from 5 to 6 for the Smart Set, right here on Jazz 90.1.
Hey, this is Derek Lucas, host of The Spectrum. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Well, welcome back, folks. This is the Saturday edition of Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And tell you what, we've got another caller on the line. Let's go right to that caller before we get into any other news and all that. Hello, caller, and I hope you're enjoying your 4th of July.
Yes, thank you very much, gentlemen. I've got a question and want to check and see what you would advise or your opinion. Currently, I have a 3-year-old Dell Dimensions computer. When I purchased it 3 years ago, it had a half a gig of memory, 526 it is of RAM of memory. My computer does have 2 slots, and I can max out the memory at 2 gigs of RAM. I currently purchased 1 stick, so right now my memory is at 125 gigs of RAM. Mm-hmm. My question is, for the other $50 to buy another stick of memory, act. Would that be a major benefit, or would I sort of be, you know, not really worth it anymore?
What operating system are you running, and what kind of things do you do with it?
General internet stuff, banking. I do not play games or do any kind of video or Photoshop kind of stuff on the computer.
This is a three-year-old machine?
Yes.
Probably not.
Yeah.
If you're doing video editing or audio editing, you know, intensive or photo editing, things like that, from a gig and a half to 2 gigs isn't really that much of an upgrade.
Yeah, you're only going to gain 512.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm sorry. Right now it's 125, 1.25 GB of RAM. So,
oh, you must have had two 256s, took out one. And
yes, yes. I had two 256s. I removed one, and I replaced it with one one gig stick of memory.
Gig
so
and
one and a quarter.
Gig?
So for me to go and order another stick and max it out at two, which is all my machine can handle, is that worth the other 50 or 55 bucks?
All right, and this is something we've said over the years. Given the age of the machine, and granted you're putting the memory into the, you know, this, again, then you start looking at, all right, well, then how about the graphics card? Can I beef that up? And it just becomes a vicious circle.
And a bigger hard drive.
Where am I moving bottleneck?
For 50 bucks, maybe. But it's hard to justify.
Even the CPU, the processor, is only at 253 gigahertz, where some of the newer machines are now running well over 3, I think.
Yeah, 3. Yeah.
And a lot of them are dual core now instead of a single core, so there's actually two processors in the chip. Yeah. So it's the catch 22.
I'd say
that
50 bucks towards, maybe you might want to get yourself, start putting the money aside and put your towards a machine in October when Windows 7 comes out and treat yourself to that.
Yeah, for regular stuff, a gig and a quarter is probably just fine.
Mm-hmm. All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your advice.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy your 4th of July.
Yes, good night.
Thank you for calling and listening.
Although, ironically, we're saying 2 gigs is a good minimum these days for basic computers.
Yeah, well, with Windows 7, you're going to need it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face
and
it.
And even with Mac OS, 2 gigs is a good minimum.
I mean, what's the Mac? What's the recommended?
Recommended is 512 megs.
512?
Well, no, minimum is 512. Recommended is 1. And you know, it's just like in the PC world, you double the recommended, and that's a more usable minimum.
Okay. Yeah. It's like we say, yeah, I can get on the thruway and do 35. I'll get to Buffalo.
Yep.
Versus if I do, you know, the 65.
If you want to run any other programs too,
oh, that too.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. God love you.
Yep.
But
it's a little frustrating. Some of the models, especially the Apple's new laptops, there's 2 memory slots. So the standard config on a lot of the laptops is 4 gigs of memory with 2 twos. Well, you can get 8 gigs of memory in the laptop by putting 2 4-gig SODIMMs in.
Mm-hmm.
Those 4-gig SODIMMs are like $600.
Get out.
Because they're brand new. They just came out. Yeah. So in 6 months, they'll be $100 like everything else.
Well, it's just like the old DDR memory versus DDR2.
Yep. In fact, the older memory, the prices are rising.
Yep.
Because
DDR
they're not
memory,
making them anymore.
And folks will sit there and say, but I saw. And see, that's again where folks don't take the time to look and read carefully.
Yep.
Because I had a customer just last week say, well, I saw an ad for memory and it's only supposed to be this. What are you trying to do, rip me off? No. Now, did you see that you take DDR? This is for DDR2. Well, can't mine take DDR2?
Nope. It's a different kind. It's like tire. I was buying tires once and I almost hit her. This woman had like a Fiat or something, you know, 13-inch tires, and her tires were $13 each. And she asked if the guy could go any lower. And I've got 16-inch tires on my van, and they were $200 each. Because they're big, wide tires on my van. And can you go any lower than $13? Shut up, lady. You're getting 4 tires for less than my 1.
But, you know, that's the thing. Folks have to take this time. Yep. And again,
well, I remember paying $1,000 a meg for RAM in the early days.
Oh, yeah. Well, hard drives. Look at the price of hard drives now.
Yep.
A terabyte hard drive, you know, you can get for around, what is it, maybe $120.
Yep.
They are gotten ridiculously cheap. A terabyte.
In fact, it's getting even more confusing a little bit now. Western Digital's got their black, green, and blue. Their black series is more expensive because it's a lot faster, has bigger cache, and typically used in servers and things that need very high speed. And then the green series are very low power, so they don't use very much power. They're trying to be green, energy friendly. And They end up costing a little less because they're green, but they're a little slower, a little at the lower end, maybe not as big a cache. So then they have their blue series, which is sort of in the middle. Now it's uses a little more power, but it's not quite as fast. So you can buy 1 terabyte green, 1 terabyte blue, or 1 terabyte black, and they're all three different prices. And then you look at the other vendors, you know, Seagate and Fujitsu and Hitachi. You know, everybody sells things for so many different prices. It's very crazy to figure out. And then speaking of different prices, we'll go back to a news story here for a minute. Microsoft promised a lot of Vista people, if they bought Vista Ultimate, that they'd get all kinds of extra things. However, for many of those people, the extras turned out to be a little more than some screensavers in a poker game. So frustrated users have turned to anger after Microsoft ordered pre-ordering their Windows 7 through July 11th, as we've mentioned. Microsoft is offering a steep discount to people who are moving to Windows 7 Home Premium and Windows 7 Pro, but there is no discount for people moving to Windows 7 Ultimate, which the regular upgrade price is going to be $220. So all the people that bought Vista Ultimate that aren't getting anything extra are really mad about no
me.
Upgrades.
Hello?
Yeah.
I bought that thinking I was going to get, you know, all the, because they said, oh, we're going to offer this, 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 and this. I got nothing.
You got a poker game and a couple of screensavers. And how much more? Vista Ultimate is like, what, $100 more than Vista Premium or whatever?
Talk about getting hosed.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why, like I was saying last night in Second Life there, you know, you come to my shop, folks, and I downright refuse to sell Windows Vista. I will not. I don't care what you say, what you do. I'm not selling Vista. I won't give
There's
Gates.
So many compatibility problems.
Yes. And you know what? I don't want to have the hassle. I know that when I put XP on it right now, it's going to work fine. And I'm going to go literally from supporting XP to Windows 7. I've already played with it. Took in Vista off, and we're working with Windows 7. It works fantastic. No issues, problems, nothing. I love it. You know, and because Gates is worried, like I've said before, you know, he is quite worried that he's got to get it right. And he's got to get it right this time, or he is in big doo-doo.
After all the flop with Vista not selling and businesses not upgrading, Microsoft is really hurting in financials.
You know what I'd like to know? Again, how many warehouses
are still full of
Vista
boxes?
Are still sitting there with Vista boxes?
Well, now they're storing them next to the Millennium boxes.
Oh, so we can have one big fire?
Yeah.
Oh, cool! If you folks have been listening to Soundbites, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, for a long time, you will know how much I love Windows because it was a piece of junk.
Same
ME
same
stood
issues,
for many errors.
Yeah, the same issues as Vista. There were
no
drivers for it.
It's
Vista
they copied the same code.
Yeah, Vista in and of itself isn't really that bad if you have a high enough horsepower computer to run it on. But heaven forbid you try to plug your old printer into it or your old scanner into it or your old software into it.
Yes, I mean, he should be sued. He should have been sued.
Oh, there's several suits.
Oh, yeah.
That was the other one, the Vista-capable badge.
But they said
all the real low-end machines were sold as being Vista-capable. Yeah, you can run Vista Starter on it, and it's nothing.
But in that news article that you were reading there about the upgrade and the Ultimate, they don't even say, though, what the recourse is for us folks that did buy it and literally are getting hosed.
Yeah, nothing. They promised you stuff.
And they took our money and gave us zip.
Well, they give you some things, so you can't say they gave you nothing.
Right. Heck, I can go get those free off the internet.
And you can, and that's how they weasel out of their contracts.
I can go to CNET or download.com or PC World and get a heck of a lot better free stuff there than what he's handing out. It's junk.
So a lot of people are trying to get together and start a class action suit against Vista Ultimate, that there wasn't any Ultimate extra stuff put into it, and there's no special upgrade price for Ultimate like there is for Home Premium and Professional.
Yeah. Oh, we had the gentleman call back again. I think I kind of shocked him. He goes, well, would you tell Dave to please go over some of the other stuff about the McAfee and all this other stuff? And I said, all right, I can do that. He goes, wait a minute. You're Dave, right? Yeah. You're answering the phone? Yeah, I answer the phone.
Runs the board. Dave's an all-around kind of guy.
They finally got me, after 19 years, folks, off my duff. I used to sit between Nick and Steve. Now they got me working for a living at the board. So when you hear this, Nick and Steve are usually sitting now, and I'm running the board, keeping things running and going and having a lot of fun. So, yeah, we're doing the phones, the whole nine yards. So, you know, if we don't answer right away, you know, just please be patient. You know, we'll get to it when we can. And, you know, we're just having a lot of fun. And, again, he thanked us, and that's the reason he became a member. Yep. Member supported Jazz 90.1 is because Soundbites came here.
Yep.
And please, if you folks would, please get the word out. Tell your friends that we have moved now over here to a great station. And if you're not a member, please become a member.
And if you want to call in with the questions, the phone number is 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
Super. And, you know, if you're not busy, I know it is the 4th of July, and I hope everybody is out there enjoying it. Be safe, you know, and if you get a chance, pick up the phone and give us a call. Love to take your computer questions. What do we got as far as...
Yeah, we got another news story here that some AT&T and iPhone customers are very angry over voicemail delays. A lot of people are saying that it takes sometimes days for a voicemail to show up in their phone. That they know someone had left, and I've noticed that on my Verizon phone too. I know I haven't missed a call, but suddenly there's voicemail showing up there. And the theory is that the networks are just overwhelmed. When the new iPhone 3GS was released a couple of weeks ago, they sold 1 million phones over the weekend.
Whoa!
And there were some activation issues with 1 million people trying to activate their phone at the same time.
You think?
So it's it's a huge win for AT&T getting all these new subscribers with the iPhone, but it's also been a huge bane for AT&T. Their networks are constantly being overwhelmed. There was a conference in Texas called South by Southwest, and 50,000 people showed up with their iPhones basically, and AT&T died because it couldn't handle the traffic. All those people in all that traffic in one setting, yeah. So users that have first reported the trouble said that AT&T is aware of the situation but has no cure. And the best workaround is for users to manually check their voicemail themselves and not wait for the voicemail flag to show up. But even then, the manual checks may not work if the messages are in limbo. So when you leave a voicemail message for someone, you're leaving it on AT&T's computers somewhere, and eventually it gets routed to the recipient's phone. It's not clear how common or widespread this problem is, and it could easily go unnoticed by average users until you notice that voicemail sticker pop up again.
Now, what are those plans going for?
Well, it's the iPhone is considered...
I know, it depends.
It depends, yeah. The iPhone is considered a smartphone, so it's in the class of the BlackBerry, the Palm Pre. In fact, the Palm Pre, their big opening weekend was a couple of weekends before Apple's, and I think they sold 100,000. And Apple sold 1 million.
Yeah, they're not Palm.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's always talking about the iPhone killer, and I thought the Palm Pre was going to be the iPhone killer. The Palm Pre is only available on Sprint, so if you have Sprint, it is the best phone you can get for Sprint. But for the iPhone and smartphones in general, you need to buy your minute plan, like most cell phones have.
Okay.
And I believe the least expensive minute plan is 450 minutes for $50 a month. And then you have to buy a data plan. Since it's a smartphone and can access the internet, the BlackBerries and the Pres and the iPhones, okay, you need to buy a data plan. And that's about $30 a month, $30 to $40 a month for your data. And you got a 5 gig cap. Most of the data plans have about 5 gigs, which is a lot for a phone, not much for a regular computer, but that's a lot for a phone. And then most people want to get a text messaging plan too, because you're sending texts back and forth. If you don't have a plan, they're like 25 cents each, and a lot of parents got huge phone bills from their kids texting back and forth. So generally about the minimum you pay for a smartphone is about $100 a month. And since the way the U.S. cell phone industry works, you pretty much sign up for a 2-year contract. So when you get your iPhone for $99, you're committing to pay $2,500 to AT&T for the privilege of using that phone for the next 2 years.
Okay.
Which is one reason I use an iPod Touch, which is everything the iPhone is without the actual phone. So I can get on Wi-Fi, I can get on the internet, I can check my email, and then I have a little tiny, where is it? Where's my phone? There it is, over here. I have a little tiny burner phone, so I do have to carry two devices, but it's just a little tiny phone that makes phone calls.
Yeah.
And that's been one of the big sort of ironies about the iPhone, is it does all these really cool things and internet and games and websites, but it's a phone, so it's got to make phone calls.
I mean, I guess that's where I'm lost in the technology. You know, I still like my simple phone.
Yeah.
Want to pick it up, dial it,
and make a call.
Be able to make a call. I don't need it to surf the web. I don't need to play my latest songs.
It's also my iPhone, so I'm in the car a lot. You're probably in the car a lot, so you can listen to radio podcasts and songs when you're in your car. I've got a little gas gauge.
In a car, though.
Yeah, you've got
it's
your satellite
a radio.
Yeah.
Turn it on. It does AM, FM. Yep. It can play CDs.
I listen to a lot of...
you can hook up even your iPod up to it.
I listen to a lot of serial novels, which are big on the internet now.
I know
like the old radio serials from the 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. You know, every week, the author reads a couple more pages. And then I listen to a lot of technology podcasts, Lilo Port and the Twit Network and Macworld, a lot of the Mac. And that's how I try to keep up on what's happening in the industry.
Yeah, no, I got to admit, I'm the same way. I like listening to, stuff like that, the books on there. I've gone on trips, love, listening to the books. Band of Brothers, I had that on, borrowed that from the library and listened to the CDs.
I mentioned a little earlier, I was listening to All You Zombies by Robert A. Heinlein on a podcast called Escape Pod, which is science fiction stories. And they celebrated their 200th episode by running a Heinlein classic.
Now, that's educational, and you're getting something out of it. But some of these other games, and like I say...
Well, you're standing in line for 20 minutes, or I'm stuck in traffic for half an hour. You can play a game on your iPhone.
But here's another thing I don't get. And again, we can discuss this a little bit after the break. But, it is a phone. And folks are so heavy on this texting.
Yeah.
It's a phone.
I like phone.
I text them.
I like sending text. I don't want to talk to people. I just want to send them an Well, you probably get it too. The biggest one of the biggest things we do in our shop is we call people and tell them their computer's done and ready to pick up. Well, invariably they call back 2 seconds later saying, "You called me?" Well, if you'd listened to the message I just left, yes, we called you. Your computer's done and ready to pick up.
Call me dumb. I just don't get it. Granted, I love technology and everything else, but some of the stuff just doesn't make sense. All right, folks, tell you what, we got to take a short break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Members Supported Jazz 90.1, and we are Soundbites.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
8. I deliver your Sunday paper every week.
7. We work on the same floor.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. Our kids walk to school together every day,
including millions of children and seniors.
5. We chat in the elevator at work sometimes.
4. I'm your cashier at the grocery store.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help? You can make a difference through Feeding America at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Ooh, I like this music Rob has picked out for us.
Yep.
Good afternoon, folks. You're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'd like to welcome you folks taking the time out to on your busy 4th of July to tune us in. And I'll tell you what, we're going to go right to the phones. We got another caller who took the time out to give us a call. Hello, caller.
Hi, my name is Charlie, and I was working in my garage and heard you talking about Windows Vista Ultimate. And I had that loaded on a computer I just had built in a 64-bit processor. And a couple weeks ago, I got an automatic update that started when I went to shut down my computer. And it looks like Windows Update was for a 32-bit system. The computer wouldn't run after that. I had to reload the installation, run a repair. And it was okay for about a week and a half, and then that happened again, an automatic update. and it wouldn't run anything. And to the fact, about the fourth or fifth time I tried to start it, I can't get any screen at all. But when I had a screen, it said that on the lines of files, it said Windows 32 slash and then a bunch of other numbers. Is it possible that Microsoft messed up my computer?
Oh, I can guarantee it.
Yeah, they should only send you the updates for your specific OS. Should.
You said the operative word.
You may want to turn off your automatic updates and go to the Microsoft website and manually download that update for your 64-bit version.
Now, question for you, though.
Yep.
Do you have access to another machine
for
downloading
purposes?
You know what? If you're going to have to do the pleasure of reloading Windows all over again, which you might have to by the sounds of it, what you might want to do is go to the other machine and try a download a copy of Windows 7 release code and get the key code, because that's good, I believe, for 6 months, isn't it, Steve?
I think it was next March. It was a year when they released it in March, yeah.
Try burning that to DVD. You can make it a self-booting disk. Try installing Windows 7.
Okay.
I mean, right now, I think, you know, the grief and aggravation, you're going to keep getting bit because Microsoft thinks they know better than you on what to do with your machine because, hey, you're only the user. What do you know? You know, I mean, just because you want to surf the internet and do this and do that, forget it. I would highly recommend downloading, burning to a CD, the Windows 7 release code, get the key code, and install that on your machine.
Okay. If I'm going to keep having problems with the Vista Ultimate, which it sounds like you guys were saying I probably will, would I be better off going to a system like Linux?
Depends on whether you want to learn another operating system. You know, it's your call.
Yeah. It can do all the same things, but it does them differently. We like to say it's like getting a new car. For a few weeks, you can't remember where the radio buttons are or what side the turn signal's on or where the gas cap is. But it still drives you down the road.
Exactly.
But the issue that you're running into is with the automatic updates failing. So one of our suggestions
turn that
even
off,
earlier
completely
was,
off.
Yeah, turn off automatic updates and manually run them when you want to be able to install them.
Okay, and for the Windows 7, would I still have that difference problem between a 64-bit and a 32-bit?
Well, right now they just got release code. They're not doing many updates.
But yeah, there still is a 64-bit version and a...
Yes, there is a 64 and a 32-bit.
And one of the issues is there's not much reason to run a 64-bit OS yet because there's not many 64-bit applications outside of science and biomedical.
Yeah, it's like they're all dressed up for the party but nowhere's to go. What we're really hoping is with Windows 7, the new i7 chip... You know, and Windows 7 64-bit, that it's finally going to turn the corner and a lot more programmers are going to start writing 64-bit programs.
Yeah. It's a catch-22 that programmers haven't been incentivized to write 64-bit software because the 64-bit operating systems aren't that common. So it's one thing that what Apple did is they merged their 32-bit and 64-bit into a single operating system so that the One OS can run both codes and you don't have to worry about the split between 64-bit and the 32-bit. And that's not something that Microsoft has done yet with Windows.
We just had a caller saying that the release candidate is good until July 2010.
July, okay.
Okay.
I've been trying to find it. August 2009 is the only one I can find. So
well, thank you very much for calling.
Beta.
Hope you enjoy your 4th of July. Don't work too hard in the garage.
Thank you. You too.
All right.
Let me try another search here. So we got another call through, we'll take another news message here. An XP user, we'll call him William, didn't think he was buying a pirated copy of Windows XP Pro, and he took all the right measures to ensure his copy was valid. But despite his best efforts, it seems that he's got an illegitimate copy. In April of 2007, he says he bought a copy of XP Pro from an online company, so he checked it out with the Microsoft Genuine Advantage tools, which said it was legitimate, and you're okay. A year later, he gets another Windows pop-up that says, well, no, you've got an illegal copy, and it's going to shut down. So what happened in this intervening year where the Windows Genuine Advantage said he had a legal copy, and a year later it says he has an illegal copy? And so he called Microsoft, and Microsoft said, well, you can fix your problems by buying a new version of Windows for $129.
Yeah, right.
So what probably happened, well, so He said if it had been $25, he probably would have just done it. But $150 is annoying. So what probably happened, and this is a real big problem we see, is that less than reputable internet companies will sell the same copy of Windows many times. And yeah, if you happen to be the first person to install and register that copy of Windows, it works fine. But then the next person does it, the next person does it, the next person does it. And eventually your copy is now illegal because it's been installed too many times by other people. So it's really tricky to be able to prove and ensure that you get a legitimate copy from an online vendor. You want to make sure you have the holographic printed real Windows XP disk with a real Windows 25-digit serial code on it. But even then, some vendors will just email you the license code, and they email the same code to a bunch of other people. So it's very hard to legitimately find
and save that key code.
Yeah, save the key code, please.
Yep. I've had folks literally, the key code, throw it out.
Which I really like when they started sticking the key code on the computer.
Yeah.
Now you can lose the disk. Losing the disk isn't quite as bad. Losing the key code is terrible.
All right, let's go to one more caller. Hello, caller.
Yes, afternoon. I have a question concerning whether I should upgrade to Windows 7 from XP. I have an HP 754 desktop. It's about 4 years old, and I have 253 gigahertz processing and 1.49 gigabits RAM, but I don't know what kind of a video card I have.
Yeah, you have to look on the original specs that came with the computer.
Yeah, and this machine, being 4 years old...
Does your monitor, does the video card plug in line with the rest of the ports on the motherboard, or is it in one of the separate slots?
I have no idea. Yeah. All I was doing was looking on the device manager listing.
You have to look on the back of the computer to see where your video card is.
Okay. And
the fact that you only got 1.49.
Yeah, that, a gig and a half.
Well, no, it's 1.49, not 1.5. That implies he's using shared video memory.
Yeah.
So it's probably a shared video card, and you might not gain the full graphics benefits of Vista or 7. Although 7 is a lot better than Vista was for graphics ability.
Yeah.
But 4 years old, you may be better off just getting a new computer and passing that one down to a family member. It's
I don't use it except for emails, word processing, financial matters, and so on like that.
And that's the other question. If you don't want the new features the new OS is giving you, you don't have to bother upgrading, which is Microsoft's big bane. All the people still using 98 and XP that didn't upgrade to Vista and aren't going to upgrade to 7. Yeah. So if it's working fine for you now, you may not need to upgrade at all.
Maybe supporting XP for a few years?
Well, that's the other question. And however they define supporting, let me find that product lifecycle. They just extended the support for XP.
It's 9 years, I think.
From the original release date 5 years ago.
So at least another 4 years.
Yeah, for releasing patches and updates. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling. Yeah, it's going to be the tricky thing, you know. Folks are still going to want to, just like we have with folks right now, still hanging on to Windows 98. I mean, we've got some folks that are still out there running that.
Long been unsupported, which means they're not releasing updates, they're not releasing security patches, and your machine may not be capable of upgrading anyway. So that becomes very, very difficult for people, and the best thing to do in that case is disconnect from the internet so that you're not susceptible to any of the problems that still exist for the older operating systems, and start thinking about buying a new computer. Although we also have to be careful on the other side. You buy the $299 or $399 super discount deals at the big box stores, they're not that good a deal after all.
Yep. All right, tell you what, let's try to slip one more caller in. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I have two questions. The first, so I understand time is short. I'll try and make them brief. The first one is a follow-up to the networking discussion you all were having earlier. I have an older computer that only does WEP. I have it MAC address restricted. Does that sort of help, or
no.
do I still have issues?
No, I can spoof a MAC address in 20 seconds.
Okay.
So that's something
really
not to rely
to
on.
Something.
Upgrade your hardware to a Wi-Fi access card in that computer that supports something newer.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So basically people can go through and figure out what the MAC addresses are just as they can passwords.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then my second question is, I have several Macs and several PCs. To date, I have not gotten any sort of virus protection for the Mac. I have it for the PCs. Am I putting my friends at risk by not having virus protection on the Mac?
A little bit, yes. You can get a Windows virus on your Mac. It can come through email. It can come through a document. It won't affect your Mac, but if you pass that file on to someone using Windows, they can be infected. There are a couple of free antivirus programs for the Mac. ClamX is probably one of the big ones.
That's one been along a lot. The longest, has it?
Yeah, well, it's originally for Unix, and they wrote a Mac version of it. And we have that listed on our Security Tango. In fact, the new improved Security Tango, where we have the Mac Arena, the Linux Lambada, and the Windows Waltz. So we have programs listed for each of the operating systems.
And for some of the other folks, there was a question out there. Well, I don't see one for Vista versus XP. No, it's Windows.
Right.
So it covers all of them, folks.
Well, not necessarily, because most of the new ones don't work on 98 or 2000.
Well, 98 and 2000, but I'm saying for XP or Vista.
Yep. Yeah, so yeah, it is a good idea to run an antivirus on your Mac so that you don't inadvertently pass on bad things to other people. And there are a couple of Trojan horses for the Mac. Mostly now they are on the pirate sites and the porn sites. So if you don't go to those sites, you're less susceptible, but it relies on a just click OK that we talked about earlier. A message pops up on your screen saying that you need to download this codec and to view the video, and people say OK and they get infected.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been flash exploits and QuickTime exploits. So you have to be very careful about the messages you read and what you click on and what you OK to download.
Terrific. And then so I have used the Security Tango in the past. I think it's great. It's been very helpful, not only for me, but for my friends who have also had problems with security and getting viruses.
Well, that's what we like to hear.
If I don't broadcast my address, does that help at all, or is that sort of the same thing? You can figure out there's a wireless nearby.
Yeah, not broadcasting your SSID is something people try to do, which means that in the generic operating systems mode of looking for access points, it won't find it. But there are tons of utilities that just look for radio signals and find an access point that isn't broadcasting.
Yeah,
so that's not good security either.
You gotta constantly be on the guard, folks. There's, it's the old game of leapfrog.
Yeah, it'll stop the casual pirate from getting in, but won't stop someone determined to get in.
Okay.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Really appreciate you taking the time out on your 4th of July, as we do all the callers. It's kind of nice. I know everybody's pretty busy right now with their schedules and everything else. It's like unbelievable. But, she does bring up a concern.
Mm-hmm.
It's due diligence.
Yeah.
I mean, folks have to be very leery on, stuff that's going on.
Don't believe all the messages that pop up on your screen.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right, folks. Well, with those tones and that music, of course, I'm playing them, tells me I got to get ready to get out of here. We want to thank you very much for taking the time, out of your busy schedule. I know it's the 4th of July. I hope you have a very safe one. And thank you again for tuning in to a member-supported Jazz 90.1 and this edition of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright, and have a safe weekend.